All right, so I'm going to play the audio of Grant answering those three questions around his just introducing himself, speaking about who he is and upbringings and stuff, and then some leadership experiences that he went through, you know, that led him to this place, and then you know, what need was being met in the whole microchurch development journey. And then we'll go through a time of, asking questions and engaging with Grant after I've played the audio. Anything that comes to mind, any questions that you feel prompted to ask. Let me know if you can hear the audio. I'm just going to try and share it.
Hi, everyone. My name is Grant Porthen, and I'm from a place called Athlone in Cape Town, South Africa. I am married, I've been married for 10 years to Stephanie, and we have three kids, Mercy, Myra, and Micah. They're all under 7, and we are a family that loves Jesus and have a deep passion to see God's kingdom come in different ways, both in our city but also in South Africa and beyond. And I came to faith 19 years ago in a car. I lived a life of destruction and despair in gangsterism and crime. And one night God got a hold of my life in a car, one cold night. I remember the gospel that I heard when I was a kid, 8 years old, and I remembered that Jesus saves, and I found that I needed God desperately in my life because I was a sinner, and I put my trust in Jesus, and I came into a relationship with the God who created the universe. And I think that's always something that's captured my imagination, the fact that we can have a friendship with God. And it's really that friendship that has moved me forward in different ways and sparked imagination. And also through that relationship, sensing this deep sense of call that God has for my life, but also for his church in the city. And so my leadership experience, I think about my leadership experience, there's always been or a theme of leadership, at least in my life, in different ways. I remember my mom always used to tell me, my late mom always used to tell me that I'm a leader. And I had no idea what she meant, but I'm sure she saw something in me. I also saw leadership being expressed in different ways growing up, through friendships, through initiating games at school, tournaments, initiating different activities, informal activities, but also captaining sports teams, and later on being involved in ministry initiatives across the city, leading them both in pastoral capacity, but then later on in a missional community, and at a Christian NGO called the Message Trust, leading their community transformation stream, and now Renewal Network South Africa. And all of those things have played a key role in the formation of my leadership. But also, quite recently, recently, is being a dad. I think being a dad, or also kids are kind of forced to follow you, and so I guess that's leadership too. One of the great needs I think that this micro church journey has met is, I think this desire for the church to express itself in a different way in our time. I think traditional structures or prevailing structures have definitely exhibited the grace of God in different ways. I think one of the challenges within those structures is the proximity that it displays to people, or the way it facilitates proximity to people and the world. And so I think microchurch living, or at least the journey at least, is our attempt to move towards Jesus, one another, and the world in new ways, in different ways, through closing down the distance. And so that's definitely been a need that I've seen met, and also seeing some of the fruit of that in our micro church. And so that's been a really cool journey that we've got to be a part of.
I've got some questions.
Cool, go for
Okay.
it.
So, Grant, you mentioned you're involved with some communities that are closer together. What communities are you part of, or what do those communities look like? Yeah, maybe just start with that.
Now?
Yeah.
Always awkward hearing yourself. I don't know how you feel about that. I'm like,
That is going to be my question now.
Let me just say also, like, yo, it was hard putting that voice note together, eh? With getting time just for this kids to, like, yeah, stop manifesting. Yeah, communities that I'm part of now is well, there's various communities actually, I think, but specifically around my micro church, it's Athlone and Mitchell's Plain at the moment. And so yeah, so outside of that, there's, like I said, the other day I was in Hope Bay, Constantia, and I actually thought that if I'm thinking around like vision for city, I actually thought that I wasn't going to engage those communities again. Actually, I wasn't up for it, but it seems like, yeah, I'm moving, God's moving me back into those different settings. But specifically around micro church, yeah, it's at moment, it's a plan.
So what does that look like just from a practical perspective for someone who hasn't joined one of those meetings, or what can we expect coming to one of those smaller gatherings? Maybe that's a better way to phrase my question.
Yeah, I think every gathering is different. The Athlone one, we've been looking at the foundations of Jesus, and particularly looking at prayer. And so I'm at the moment, like, probably using it as a theme, you could see a gathered moment that's very intentional around, like, moving towards Jesus and getting to know him, and it's and actually, like, getting allowing the community and almost like the mission to flow from the centrality of who Christ is. And so we've tried to be really intentional around like that, and how that look what that looks like within our actual gathered moments is what's the word, it's worship, it's conversation. But I think the thread within those gathered moments is that it's very relational, and most everybody's participating, and it's also been cool to see, like, people that might not have had the confidence to participate are finding the confidence to as well, and so that's been a really cool experience. I think also, like, it's also been a process in our gathered moments, demystifying all the stuff and unlearning all the stuff. I think theology that has maybe diverted a bit from Jesus and his grace, and performance, and so I think that's been huge for us in Athlone. There is a missional component to it. We do community mapping. We walk in our communities, getting a sense from it. We meeting different stakeholders in our space to find out who they are and what they're doing. Board counselor. I mean, having those different connecting points just to get a sense for who's doing what and where the community's at. Yeah. So in Athlone, that's all of those things. There's evangelism. Yeah, we've been sharing the gospel. But this has been really cool connecting points and spontaneous prayer time just to like bless people. So that's not all of it, but that's the gist of it. We have sort of two components. We have gathered moments, but also scattering moments. But also just having the sense that we need to be really intentional in building in one another before we go. So in Mitchell's Plain, it's actually been cool. We just started like re-engaging that space in a different ways with those young people. And it's actually been really, really cool. Amazing young people fight up for Jesus. So at the moment, we just meet to got a actually doing something at the end of the month to bless a youth group in Mitchell's Plain together, and which is quite cool. We started asking local churches to send one local church at least for now, House of Grace, to send 3 or 4 key leaders to participate in that sort of next gen micro church with a special emphasis on leadership development and mobilizing young people for mission there. So it looks very different. Yeah. So that's long winded, but yeah.
Very cool. Thanks, man.
Cool.
I had some interruptions in the office, so I missed a little bit of the last part, but I think around your first part, how you shared about kind of leadership, I really appreciated the angle you came from in that, speaking about leadership spaces that shaped you growing up. It made me, that was just something that made me think about such a different angle of leadership. So again, points to the usefulness of stories even in and amongst people we know. But you were talking, and this might be because internet and I moved and people were noisy, but you spoke about proximity and people that were displaced in terms of the micro church. Can you elaborate a bit on what you were talking about there?
Proximity and how it relates to a micro church.
Yeah. I think I have an idea, but I might have just.
Yeah. I think something that's always been a thread, I think, within my own story is distance. And I think part of that story is my dad that was always distant from me. And I think the thread of being in union with Jesus and the fact that he moved towards us and he's close to us, and that sort of frames that aspect of the nature of God is huge in my own life, because the presence of God in being with us, that's huge, the fact that God came close. And that actually plays out in that theology, or that view of God actually plays out in life, I think, or maybe I don't want to call it like missiology. Maybe there is a missiology, but just generally, like, there's the need for us to be close to people and relationally in proximity with them, so that we can love them. You can't love people from a distance, right? And so maybe in words we can say, I love you, but the proximity to someone else for to transmit what you mean by your words. And so so that's something I've always been passionate about. So partly fueled by brokenness because of my past, but also because of Jesus, he comes close to us. And so what that looks like in our micro church is we want to be close to people. Yeah, I mean, that's and moving relationally and love people and in a way that they can sense the tangible nature of God's love. So that's what I mean in different ways. Sure.
That was very well
smart
said.
Work now.
I really appreciated that. Yeah, very, very cool.
Maybe speak some more about what you were saying earlier about what it is like to listen to your own voice, listen to the recording. Did you disagree with yourself at any point? but yeah, just that, you know, so... so many people would say like, oh, it's so awkward to listen to myself. And obviously, but yeah, I'm just keen to hear more.
I mean, like, there's probably a lot happening in the voice note, right? Because I had to like do like a minute of it or a minute and a half of it. And then my 2-year-old Micah runs in and goes crazy. So I'm like, pause. So then I have to like re-engage it as well and remember like where I'm at. So I think like listening to the voice note now, I'm like, oh flip, like the voice note itself and the compilation of the voice note is very like messy, you know, like actually putting it together. Actually the process of putting it together is very, very messy. And maybe that just speaks to the messiness of what we attempting to do as well. It's awkward in a sense because like you listening to yourself. I don't know if that's just, I don't know if anybody else feels that way, but whenever I hear myself, I'm just like, oh flip, like I calm down. But probably have to get over there.
That's interesting.
I thought pastors don't struggle with that.
Well, then they often not hearing themselves. Yeah, when you're playing it again.
Yeah, you're playing it back yourself. Yeah, and you flip like you're like guy like And it's different. I find like doing the voice. It's almost like what is the word? Like a monologue? Like you're speaking. It's like this. It's different to this. This is like a conversation. That when you're doing this thing and you're actually doing the voice, that I'm like flip, like what do you say, what do you leave out, there's a time for it. So it's all of those things. So and then
that's cool. And I think just the compilation itself you mentioned was kind of messy, and it's so analogous to this micro church development journey as well. That's often equally messy. It's not nice and polished, and you know, it's in amongst everyday life and the demands of life. So even this creation of these podcasts or these voice notes are kind of not, you know, it's might not even be possible just to have a quiet moment to do the whole thing. But then also just connecting with the whole storytelling thing. It's awkward because you're listening to yourself and you're used to conversation. But there's this value of storytelling that it's allowing someone to go to a deeper level of thinking and therefore expression that they probably don't get to at an everyday level because it's just different compared to the conversational nature. So yeah, I guess, you know, that's kind of the invitation that is there for everyone else to, you know, create like a 5 to 6 minute voice note, which would be the broad kind of time estimation for all three of those questions, and just to give it a go. And, you know, you might need to do one or two takes, but also don't overthink it. And if it's not perfect, it's fine. We can do another take in the future at some point. But just for us to engage and learn and listen like we did now. And we can maybe do this in our next gathering a bit more as well in person. So yeah, that's it.
From that cool. Thanks, Brad.
Not bad. Thanks for listening, guys.